An interview with Bishop Gerald Kakanis by John L. Allen of the National Catholic Reporter. This interview is quite lengthy, and I have sort of pared it down to just Bishop Kakanis' remarks on the synod that is going on in Rome in regards to the Bible and Scripture and also preaching. John Allen begins, "What has struck you about the synod so far?" Bishop Kakanis replies, "What's fascinating is that everyone's perspective is so different. Each person seems to pick a different section of the instrumentum and offer their perspective, some from their own pastoral experience, some more theologically oriented, some with very clear action possibilities that the synod might consider. It's fascinating, especially to hear bishops from third world countries and the tremendous struggle that the church faces in those communities. Great persecution, discrimination, poverty, illiteracy, things that we don't experience so strongly in the United States. It's interesting and often very moving to hear some of the observations that the bishops have made." John Allen, "Is there anything concrete you've heard that you'll take home and that might make a difference in Tucson?" The reply, "I think it's been the ability to proclaim the Word of God in the liturgy in a more deliberate way. One person said today it's like passenger trains and cars passing by. You hear the clang and the noise, but you don't really pay attention. I think that's true. People listen to the word proclaimed at Mass, but if you ask them 5 minutes later, what is it about, I don't think they would have a clue. The question is how to make it more deliberate and more prayerful. Perhaps there should be more silence to give people a chance to reflect on what's been said. We've also talked about preaching and homilies. In some ways, every priest thinks he's a great preacher, but you talk to the people, and sometimes they don't think he's so great. Whether homilies can be improved all that much, I don't know. But I think providing some opportunities for people to learn more about the various ways of opening up the Word of God could be helpful." Question: have you had any reaction to the idea you floated about designating 2009 as the year of preaching? Response: no. Although there's been a lot of talk about preaching, especially with regard to seminaries, it seems like we're always going after seminaries to do something better or more. There have been a few suggestions about finding ways to help priests and deacons to preach better. I think there will certainly be some propositions on preaching, and I hope that what I offered might be a possibility. It's interesting to see how, when the Universal Church defines something as important, it begins to permeate the various dimensions and layers of the church. The Pauline year, for example, or a year of the Eucharist, all these things do have an impact in terms of what people think about and what they try to do during that year. So we'll see. Question: part of your proposal was that priests and deacons sit down with laity to discuss how homilies can become more relevant. Is this something you've tried? And if so, what's been your experience? I've learned so much just by listening to the laity speak about their struggles. Most recently, we've been doing it with parents, trying to see what concerns them, what the church might do better to support them. Of course, the constant theme is a concern for their children and that they're not learning the faith. They believe that their children are not going to live as Catholics, as they've tried to live. It's a preponderant concern among parents how to form their children in the faith. Of course, faith is a grace. It's a gift. It's not something we can demand or insist upon. I think there's an awful lot to be learned simply by listening to people, understanding what some of their struggles are, and how we can bring the Word of God and the faith we profess more directly into the lives of people. There is a hunger. There is a struggle going on. These are terribly challenging days, even in our country, in the United States. There are fears and anxieties, for example, related to what's happening with the economy, and the church's message could mean a great deal. How to do that is the big struggle right now. Question. I was recently at the Catholic Conference on Preaching, and one issue that surfaced there was preaching by laity. A number of laity, especially women, said they feel a vocation to preach, and they're sometimes frustrated that this isn't permitted during the Eucharist. What can you say to them? Well, I think there are opportunities for laity to preach, though they're not liturgical moments in the terms of the homily at the Mass. There are many times and places where laity can preach, and I think we should look for those opportunities and encourage them, because laity do have things to say. I think the issue is more in terms of the particular presiding role of the priest and the responsibility to be the one who breaks open the Word of God at the liturgy in the homily. I think that's not going to change. I think what can be developed and fostered more is finding extra liturgical ways to encourage preaching by the laity. Well, what would some of those ways be? Well, for example, at wake services or devotional experiences. Those are not moments when the preaching has to be done by a priest. I think those could be opportunities for the laity to use their gifts. Preaching retreats or days of renewal, things like that, are formative moments in people's lives and very important spiritual opportunities. Preaching does take place by others in those settings, and I think in an effective way. Well, is there another possibility, the media? When I was in Honduras, I met a lay Catholic preacher named Oscar Osorio, who has a very successful show on the National Catholic TV channel. He's probably among the best known Catholic preachers in the country, but he's not a priest. Bishop Gaetanus replies, I think that's right. We have not permeated the media in any effective way in terms of the preaching of the word. I was out last night with Father Bob Barron, whom I think you know. Barron, by the way, is a priest of the Chicago Archdiocese who teaches at the University of St. Mary of the Lake Mundelein Seminary in Mundelein, Illinois, and is active in the media. He's working on a really significant project similar to Civilization, which is an influential PBS series on Western history, which will be a 10-part series on the faith. He has some very fine producers who are working with him, and it will be about a $10 million project. They've been in Rome for about a week filming. They've been in Jerusalem, and they hope to go to Turkey and various other places. He's a priest, obviously, but a good preacher who's bringing his ability to image the word in very possible ways to a different format, not on the pulpit, but through the media. Hopefully, it will be quite an influential piece once it is put together. John Ellen, so your message to laity who feel a vocation to preaching would be that it can't happen at the Eucharist, because of the sacramental theology that's involved. But the church wants to hear their voice in a variety of other ways. Bishop Kincanus' reply, sure, every disciple ought to be preaching, first of all, by the witness of their lives. Even in the family, I think in some ways preaching takes place, trying to bring to our children and grandchildren the message of Christ. We need to broaden our perspective away from the idea that the only place preaching can take place is at Mass. And John Allen asks, one of the tasks of a preacher is to connect the Word of God to the issues of the day, an issue very much on people's minds these days in America, is the election that will take place in 3 weeks. What points should preachers and pastors be making for these days? Bishop Gaetanus' reply, I think they've been helpful greatly, but I think they've been helped greatly by the bishop's document on forming consciences. The document is titled Faithful Citizenship. I think helping people to understand the document is important, because what you hear from people is that it's too dense. We don't understand it. It's too complex. You should say things more simply. The reality, of course, is that the world is complex. These issues are not easy. John Ellen, in some ways, the point of faithful citizenship was precisely to avoid simplistic reductions, wasn't it? Reply, exactly. I do think, however, it's important to make these things accessible to people. As the Pope puts out encyclicals, I've been meeting with people to talk about them. I've thought about this in part because of the example of Monsignor Renal Hillenbrand, who was the rector at Mundelein for many years. Under his leadership, a tremendous social consciousness formed among the priests of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Because what he did was that he tried to teach the encyclicals and the other writings that were coming out during his day, many of which were on the social doctrine of the Church. Note, Hillenbrand was rector at Mundelein from 1936 to 1944. I think there's so much in these Church documents, not all of them, but a good number of them, that could be taught more effectively in parish communities or even diocesan communities. The response has been very positive. Most of the people who came to these talks on Deus Caritas Est or Spes Salvi have never read the document. They walk away thinking, now I understand this a little better. It sounds important, what the Holy Father is saying. John Ellen, can you give a preacher who wants to address the elections a couple of bullet points? Response? Well, the first point would be the importance of our responsibility as believers to take part in the public arena. That's important for people to understand that we don't stay in the shadows. We don't hide out. We have to respond as citizens. We are citizens of the United States, and we have the responsibility as disciples to help form our society. So, to vote is the first message. You have to see your faith as having a place in the public arena, which I think is something that some people question. They say this is not something the Church should be considering or talking about. Then, preachers can help people to understand the complexity of the moral issues that face our culture and our society. The idea, obviously, is not to support any particular candidate, but helping people to see that the Church teaches the dignity of human life from conception to natural death, which involves a vast array of issues important in the community in which we live. It's important to be able to speak knowingly about those issues and then to try to weigh the character of the person who is running for office. Looking at the issues they propose, as well as their ability to put those issues into action, into legislation that will make a difference. It's one thing to hold positions. It's another thing to be able to get results. I think sometimes that's discouraging because people may propose positions that are along the lines of what we hold as a church in terms of the dignity of human life, but they're totally ineffective in being able to accomplish anything. And a final question by John Allen. If I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that for a Catholic who wants to approach his or her vote in 3 weeks with the mind of the Church, it's not a slam dunk which way that vote should go. Is that right? Yes, and I think that's what faithful citizenship is saying. As a disciple, as a citizen, you have to weigh issues. You have to consider the character of candidates, what you think they will be able to do in terms of affecting the society and the culture in which we live. Clearly, the document is saying that to vote for someone who is proposing actions that are intrinsically evil because of their position and those intrinsically evil acts is certainly problematic for someone who is a believer in Christ. You don't believe in Christ and then vote for a person simply or primarily because they hold a position that's contrary to the church. You have to take those positions into consideration and then make a choice. These are never easy choices. And I will cut this interview off here, even though it goes further. We have to again have many thanks to the National Catholic Reporter, and especially John Allen, who always does a wonderful job of interviewing and is so balanced in his questions and his responses. End of interview with Bishop Gerald Kakanis of Tucson, Arizona.